What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Against the Current podcast. My name is Rudy Garcia. We're really happy that you guys are here. We have a very special episode planned. We're going to talk about suffering and why Christians go through suffering. But before we get into that, as always, our sponsor for the podcast, for this episode and for the near future, we have Regenerate Coffee, Regenerate Roasting Coffee Company. We love these guys. This coffee is the beans they get from Mexico. It has notes of almond, chocolate, and red apple. Personally, me and Gordo, this is the one we like the most. But if you guys want to support a local coffee shop, a local coffee company that roasts their coffee all in one place locally, and they don't let their coffee sit around for like 12 months, like some other coffee company does. Go ahead and check them out. They also are part of a discipleship ministry that helps take Christ and help disciple and create disciples of Christ. As always, we have Forged by Fire. Forged by Fire, it's a fantasy story that honors Christ. You know, the fantasy genre nowadays is very not honoring of Christ and the stories they tell. But if you want to enjoy a story that talks about, you know, manhood and honoring virtues and values, go ahead and check it out. Working on book two at the moment. And then we have three journals. I have one here. This is the prayer journal. I have it pretty filled out. To help you in your prayer life, we also have the journal to help you keep track of your life, and the fitness battle plan to help you keep track of whatever fitness goals you have, to help us all achieve this concept of provider, protector, and priest. Without further ado, let's get into the episode. Man, how you doing, Gordo?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Chilling, bro, chilling. How's everybody else? Austin?
Good. Sabrina, nice, backup nice, crew. Sabrina.
Yeah, I like that. Hey, bro, am I good here? I'm like
if you stressing touch that
over
mic,
this mic, I'm bro. Gonna go. I'm stressing over this mic, dog.
Am I I'm gonna come here? Over there and fight you if you touch that mic.
I can't stand you. I'm kidding. So, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Against the Current podcast. Rudy, Gordo.
Yep.
Love that you guys are here. Today we're gonna be talking about suffering. And just to get to the point, today's big idea. What's the whole thing about this concept, right? Suffering. Why are you talking about suffering? We suffer because it is the only way we grow. God wants us to grow in character, maturity, and faith in Him. He knows that at some point, either when He comes back or He calls us home, suffering will end. What He is concerned about while we're here on earth is our character that only gets developed through suffering. Gordo, do you want to pray?
Before we jump into things. All right. Everybody bow your heads, close your eyes.
You know what? Even if you're driving, close your eyes. See what happens. I'm kidding. Don't do that.
Disclaimer, we are not responsible for any car accidents that may occur in the listening of this podcast.
Don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes.
I feel like we should get a lawyer now.
Oh, yeah, probably.
All right. Bow your head, close your eyes. Dear Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time we have together, Lord. Thank you for the dedication of the people who put this podcast together, Lord, that allow us to share your message. Thank you for the people listening who just want to know more about you, Lord. And thank you for just giving us the motivation, the energy to, you know, bring out as excellent as a product as we can, Lord. We pray that your word is accurately sent out to the masses here, Lord, that you would inspire us, that you would give us understanding, and that you just use us as your mouthpiece, Lord. We love you. Please take care of all the people listening, Lord. Be with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, what is the point of suffering? A little bit of a backstory. Why talk about suffering? Why are we even bringing up that that concept of suffering. I'm going to get into a little bit deeper detail later on. But a little bit of an announcement. Second son is born, officially. I think the last time recorded, he wasn't born.
Right.
Now he is. Between then and now, he was born. March 27th at 2:43. He's a month today. Yeah, at 2:43, he was born in the 2:43 in the afternoon. Since then, though, we've experienced a couple hardships.
Mostly you.
Huh?
Mostly you.
It depends on your point of view. Yeah. Depends on your point of view. But I definitely have gone through some suffering.
Oh, yeah.
But everyone's okay. Everyone's okay. Everyone's alive. Mm-hmm. Everyone's better. The babies are good, both of them. My wife is good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good now. But did go through suffering. And it got me thinking. I've learned a couple things in this a couple weeks of very intense pain. What I felt the most, and I expressed this to a couple people. I might have expressed this to you, Gordo. I felt alone. But alone in the sense of like even God.
Yeah.
When everything was happening, the first person I called was actually John. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I called John, and thank God he was with two other pastors from our church. Mm-hmm. So I got three for the price of one. When I called him, I had three of them there and they prayed. But something I expressed to them is in that moment, I was feeling alone. Alone in the sense of, like you pray to God.
Yeah.
And you feel he's not even listening.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, where are you? Like I asked these questions to God, like, where are you? Why aren't you listening? And it was very interesting. The funny thing though, it was my mom that reminded me of a poem. I don't know if you guys ever heard this poem, but I'm going to read the whole poem.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that long. But I'm going to read the whole poem. And she reminded me of this poem that I know about. I knew this poem. I know this poem when I was younger.
Yeah.
But I'm going to read it. It was right there. Okay. One night, I dreamed a dream as I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, I love you and will never leave you, never, ever, during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. And I was breaking down. I had in the middle of it, I had almost a mental breakdown. And I asked my mom, why am I so alone? Why did God leave me?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, she reminded me of this poem. And something I learned is that you can know, and we're going to get into some Bible verse, right? Some like real truth, mm-hmm. of like what the Bible talks about suffering and why God allows suffering. But something I learned and I realized in this process was that you can know the truth. You can know good doctrine. You can be sure that what you believe in, the doctrine you believe in, the theology you believe is accurate, right? And I was there. And that's a good thing to strive for. Yes, strive for correct theology, believing in biblical doctrine, right? Mm-hmm. Not believing in false gospels. That's all good. But it is only through suffering that you get to know God, that you get to experience God in your life. And I think of Job.
Mm-hmm.
I think of Job. Job went through like intense suffering. Pretty bad stuff. Like, for those of you who don't know, let's make a little bit of a list of what Job lost.
Lost his kids for one point.
Lost all of his kids. Lost all of his possessions.
Lost his health.
Lost his health. He got a leprosy.
Yeah.
Or a whole bunch of skin diseases. Yeah. Lost his kids. He had like a whole bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Lost them all. All of them died. He was a very wealthy man, made very good financial decisions, lost it all through no fault of his own.
Also was a very devout follower.
Devout follower of God.
He was living righteously.
Correct. Living. Yeah. The Bible even explained that he would make sacrifices for his kids just in case they didn't.
Yeah, for their sins.
He would do it for their sins. So he would do it for his and he would do it for theirs. So, boom, lost his kids, lost all his possessions, lost his health. His wife, she didn't die, but she left him.
Yeah.
And his friends, at the beginning, they were kind of like there for him, but then they started accusing him.
Yeah, it's like, oh, what sin did you do?
Right. They started accusing him of sin because in their mind, in their culture, this is only happening to you because you sinned pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all rounds out at the end. God reveals himself to Job. And if you read the book of Job, you know why God allowed these things for Job. It kind of like tells you. It gives you like this a backstage peek into like a meeting that God had with like his celestial beings. And you kind of see why God allowed things. But God doesn't tell Job about that. Job is sitting here and he's questioning God, why did you allow this? Was it because of some sin? And then God shows up and he says, were you there when I made everything? Were you there when I created the stars, the sun? Were you there when I made everything? When I decided everything? You weren't. I do things because I do things. I'm paraphrasing. I do things because I do things. I allow things because I allow things. I'm me. God said, I'm him. And so, but then at the end, what was Job's response? Which I think is beautiful. Mm. And I actually had to write down because I wanted to read it. And I experienced this. And I think this is beautiful because I experienced this in the suffering. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear. I have heard of you. But now my eyes see you. That's in Job 42, verse 5. Job had been doing all these right things. He's been living righteously, which was correct.
What?
Which was correct for him to do, living righteously, doing the sacrifices, doing it for his kids. He was a righteous man, and these things were right to do. But at the end of it, after all of his suffering, what did he realize? He had really only heard about God. But now he sees him. He knows him.
Yeah.
So that is the biggest thing that I learned through it. And the quickest thing, the first thing that God revealed to me in this, not revealed, I don't want to say it like that, taught me because mm-hmm. it's already revealed, but he taught it to me in this suffering, is that suffering has a purpose. Mm-hmm. Suffering has a purpose. What's the purpose? The most important purpose of suffering is it molds us, right? It molds us. So the first thing I want to talk about, how does suffering mold us? It's found in 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. And the concept is suffering refines our faith. Gordo, you want to read that?
Yeah, what was it?
Please. First Peter, chapter 1, verses 5 through 7.
Chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Who are protected by the power... Hold up. I'm not sure if my... Okay. Sorry, I was messing with my mic settings.
You're good. I feel that.
Yeah. That was completely my fault. Okay. Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So suffering refines our faith, yeah. like gold. Let me see. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that we are refined like gold. What does refined mean?
Be broken down and made again.
To be broken down and made again. And then there's something happens between the broken down and the made again. Something is removed.
Yeah. When impurities.
When we're refined, and I looked up the Webster's definition. It says, what does refined mean? Remove impurities or unwanted elements from a substance, usually. So when gold, how is gold refined? It gets melted down. Mm-hmm. And then in its liquid state, you're able to remove everything that isn't gold from it. And then you harden it back up. So our faith is refined like gold is through fire. Mm-hmm. Our faith is refined through suffering. The Bible makes it much simpler, right? So the Bible says that we are refined like gold. The process to refine gold is simple. Heat it up until it melts. Separate the gold from everything that isn't gold. Cool it down until it becomes hard, strong again. Right? What is the substance? Right? So remove impurities or unwanted elements from a substance. What's the substance? Faith. And what are the impurities? Doubt, fear, envy, all that stuff. So our faith is made purer. When you refine something, you're making something pure. In very simple terms. Our faith is made more pure through sufferings. Right? The Bible does make it simpler. Gold is valuable. The Bible uses the gold as an analogy because gold is valuable.
Right.
When it is refined. In its rawest sense, gold is not as valuable as it is after it is refined. Mm-hmm. So gold is valuable when it is refined. Our faith is made valuable. It means something after it is refined. So before you go through suffering that refines your faith, you have it. You have faith. But our faith must go through a process of refining for it to mean something, right? And that's what I mean, this whole concept of I had heard about God and now I know God. The faith I had in God was refined through the suffering. Mm-hmm. Things were taken out. Doubts were taken out. Certain fears were taken out. And that only gets taken out through suffering, through the fire.
Or how do you know that you have true faith unless it is tested?
Correct. Correct. And suffering also produces character. Now, before we get into the character part, I hadn't really noted. Can you read the First Peter verse again? I'll like scream out when to stop because it was something.
Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time.
Right there.
Yeah.
A faith ready to be revealed in the last time. I think, and I wanted to talk about this because it might come up again Yeah, it might come up again. But I'm going to talk about it now because we're about to move into suffering producing a character, a certain type of character. But that thing about faith ready to be revealed in the last times, right?
Yeah.
Okay. There are certain people that believe in something that's called the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel is a certain type of gospel that teaches that while you're here on earth, God wants you to live your best life while you're here on earth. That he doesn't want you to suffer. He doesn't want you to be poor. He doesn't want you to be sick. And people that will preach this type of message are Joel Osteen, Benny Hinn, Joyce Meyer, T.D. Jakes, Stephen Furtick sometimes. And the only reason I'm saying these names is to, like, help some of you. But what does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches that while we're here on earth, we're going to suffer. If you question that, read all of 1 Peter. Read the entire book of 1 Peter. As Christians, we're going to suffer.
Right.
Because we're Christians.
Yeah.
There are some non-Christians that don't suffer as much as we do. Jesus, the Lord that you serve as a Christian, suffered immensely and was killed. Mm-hmm. What makes you think you're not going to suffer? But here's the thing that we do have as Christians. We do have a future hope. We do have a hope, right? We have a hope in Christ. We have a present hope and we have a future hope. Our present hope isn't that we're not going to suffer. Our present hope is that Christ is going to be with us as we suffer, right? We're not going to be left alone. But what's our future hope? We do have a hope that we're not going to suffer, but that's a future hope. We have a hope that in the future, when Jesus comes back in heaven, we're not going to suffer. That's why when I pray for example, someone sick, really sick, and we pray for healing because as Christians, we still pray for healing.
Right.
Now, what's the concept that God decides if he's going to heal or not?
Right.
And I do believe God's will is for all to be healed.
Yeah.
It's just whether the timing. Whether
that be in this life or the next life.
Right, right. In heaven, guess what you're not going to have? Whatever that illness is.
Yeah.
So we as Christians, we have this future hope that in heaven, when Jesus comes back again, he'll wipe away every tear. We have this future hope that he will, that suffering, we won't feel suffering anymore, that we won't feel death anymore. We have that future hope that is supposed to help us persevere, right? That hope is what helps us persevere. And talking about perseverance, the suffering we feel and the suffering we experience here on earth produces character. You become stronger as a person. And it's a very, I guess, cliche analogy. But when you work out, what happens? Whatever muscle you're working out gets broken sore, down, then gets rebuilt. Yeah. And when it gets rebuilt,
it's painful.
It's painful.
Yeah.
But it's stronger. The muscle is stronger.
Yep.
It's a breaking down process. Even our muscles work the same way. Mm. So let's read Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Can I find it before you?
Probably. I only got one hand.
Well, I can't now because I don't have internet.
Chapter 5.
On my what? Bible.
Wow. You need the code?
It's all good. Chapter 5, verse 3 through 5.
All right. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given to us.
Yeah. So, as we see, suffering produces, at the very least, two pretty good things.
Mm-hmm.
Perseverance and a proven character.
Mm-hmm. And hope.
Proven and hope, I guess, a third thing. A proven character is a character that has been proven. A character that has gone through things, right? These Christians, the Christians that they were talking about, were like suffering.
Yeah.
Suffering. And they stayed Christians, right? And that's what God was, and that's what God, I guess, but the writer of Romans, that's what he was. Who wrote Romans? Paul? Peter?
Paul?
Paul.
Paul.
That's what he was telling them, like, yes, you're going to suffer.
Are they our fact checkers now, too?
Are they, yeah. I do like that, like, laptops are open.
Yeah.
That's what Paul was telling right. the Christians in Rome. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to suffer, especially in Rome.
Yeah.
Where when you say Jesus is Lord, you're basically saying that Caesar isn't. Hmm. And, like, their whole governmental and religious system was that whoever the Caesar was,
yeah.
was Lord, was a God king, mm-hmm. technically. So when you have Christians saying that Jesus is Lord, you're...
Jesus is king.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of treason.
Right.
Which is interesting. So they were, these Christians in Rome were getting killed left and right, mm-hmm. persecuted left and right. They were suffering. And Paul was telling them that the suffering, the momentary suffering you're experiencing now, produces a perseverance and a character, that will to keep going, mm-hmm. that nothing else does.
I remember reading a book called The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment, mm-hmm. by Jeremiah Burroughs. And I remember him saying how no Christian finds himself worse off after a trial.
No.
Like, they're always better, like, in character. Yes. And he brings up the story of it was a merchant in the 14th century who said that he never sailed better than the sail that he got shipwrecked.
What?
Because when he got shipwrecked, he, you know, found land, he was saved, and he grew in his faith to right. the Lord.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he never sailed better. Listen. That was the best time he ever sailed, the one he got shipwrecked.
When he got shipwrecked. Yep. What a beast. Mm-hmm. But listen, that's the thing about Christians. Like,
yeah.
as you suffer, your faith gets stronger. Mm-hmm. That's why, is it where we're going to go next? Count it as pure joy? Yeah, yeah. James.
That's
James
why we 1. Can rejoice through the trial.
Yeah, James mm-hmm. 1, 2 through 4. Hope. I think it is going to say that.
Yeah. So consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
Lacking in nothing. Perfect mm-hmm. and complete. What is that saying? That the suffering we endure mm-hmm. makes us, as Christians, more complete Christians.
Yeah.
Because we have a tested faith. A better faith in God, mm-hmm. and really is a better faith in God.
Yeah.
The more you suffer. Now, because I feel like we're edging a line of like preaching suffering gospel, and that's not what I want either.
Right.
Like a pessimistic gospel. It's not about that. But what mm-hmm. I am saying, that suffering, in the moment, feels bad.
Well, yeah, but it's like, because we have this hope, because we have this faith, we can remain joyous while going through these trials.
Because at the end of the day, they still will produce something good.
Right. Even though we might not be in control, we have faith that our God is.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
He has a plan, and he's going to use all this for his good.
Yeah. So I'm going to break it down a little bit. And I haven't had a job since December, since the ending of December. So January. What month are we in now? April. We're about to finish April.
Dude.
January, February, March, April. We're about
to
go into
2025.
Insanity. So I got laid off at the ending of December. I have not been able to find a job since January. Mm-hmm. And you'll be like, Rudy, bro, but find a job. And I would respond, yes, you're right.
Yeah.
I have never been more than a week without a job ever in my life. I'm 29. I started working when I was 17. I had never, ever been more than a week without a job.
And then the first time you're more than a week without a job is when you have one kid and another on the way.
The first time, it's an issue for me to find a job.
Yeah.
I have a child at home, another on the way. My wife gives birth. On top of the fact that I don't have a job, one of the hardest experiences I have ever gone through.
Yeah.
Suffering. pain, feeling alone. But here's the testimony. God has always provided. Yesterday, some friends of ours, and I'm not going to say who they are because I know they're not like that.
Right.
But we all know them. We love them. Filled. Our fridge looked like a coconut. You know the inside of a coconut?
Yeah.
It's stark white. That's how our fridge looked. Empty. Looked like the inside of a coconut. These people filled our fridge. This guy goes like, send me your address. I got a knock on the door. Groceries. That filled our fridge.
Nice, dude.
And as my wife is filling the fridge, she's looking at me with eyes this big. She's like, this is everything I had in my cart to try and do groceries today. Everything that we have here. And this isn't the first. A couple weeks ago, close to like a month ago, some people from the young adults at Elevate, I still don't know who they are. And whoever you are, thank you. For real. I wasn't given any names, any specific names. I don't know who it is, but thank you. About $1,300 was handed, put into my hands cash that was like collected from some of the young adults from Elevate. I told you guys when you guys came to drop it off.
Yeah.
But that same night, my dad had given me $500 to help. But my dad isn't Christian. And he was drunk that night. And he looked at me and he told me, which one of your little Christian friends has helped you this much? Which one of your little Christian friends just gives you $500? Huh? Leave the church. I'm your church. He told me these words. 3 hours later, my little Christian friends had given me double what he gave me. And just along this time, God has never failed. Now, like I've said, like we've talked about on this podcast before, men, it's your job. You're the provider, you're the protector, you're the priest, right? You know, it's you. But you're imperfect, and you're not going to be able to meet those standards every time. And the beautiful thing is that God is, right? We're called to be providers and protectors and priests in the same way that we're called to be complete and perfect Christians, right? In the same way that we're called righteous. How are we called righteous? Because Jesus makes us righteous, right? We're just called to imitate Christ. So I say this, why? Because in this 4 or 5 months of this year, this entire year has been a year for my family of suffering. But it has also been a year of us seeing God's hand in our lives like never before.
Yeah.
Never before. I have never felt so much pain, and at the same time, I've never seen God actively move in my life as much as I have in these 5 months. And that produces a character. That produces a faith like nothing else does. Mind you, love reading the Bible. I love studying the Bible, being correct in my theology. Correct, because... Yeah. Spoiler alert, there are certain things in the Bible that God allows for consciousness and like, yes, you can have your disagreements. It's okay. These topics aren't
right,
but there's still a right and a wrong.
Yeah.
There's still one correct interpretation. So yes, correct theology, correct doctrine, true religion. I am all about that. And I'm not going to be not about that.
Yeah.
But experiencing God in your life, like only suffering, only through suffering can you experience God actively work in your life and like see him, right? Cliff.
Right, the YouTube Shorts guy.
Cliff K. His last name starts with a K, oh, yeah? And I don't know it. But he talks about a lot of people. How can you know that God is real for sure? And my favorite thing is that his answer to that is, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't. You make conclusions based off evidence, and there's a lot of good evidence. But I also heard him once talk about, I know God is real because I've experienced him in my life. Mm-hmm. So it may not be like a good thing to use in like apologetics, like right. your experience with God.
Yeah. Where apologetics is more like just hard evidence.
Hard evidence, right. But it definitely solidifies it for you. Like, I know yeah. for sure God is real.
For real?
Right? I know for sure God is real because I've seen him move in my life in this past year. Like,
and those testimonies too, like, they not only affect you, they affect the people around you too.
Yeah, yeah.
They see your faith. They see the light that you spread out.
Yeah.
And affects people.
And like, it's beautiful yeah. for those people too. Mm-hmm. But, like, no one. Mm-hmm. No one. Hey, this evidence came up about God not being real. It's wrong. Oh, but what's the proof that it's wrong? There isn't one yet, but I know it's. But I know it's wrong, because God moved in my life.
Yeah, see, like some people debate, like you know, let's see, A word, atheism.
Atheism, yeah. The A word.
I couldn't remember it. But yeah, like some people debate them, and they're like, all right, so. What evidence would it take for you to believe? And some of them answer like, oh, there's no evidence that would make me believe in yeah. it. They're like, okay, so there's no point in having this conversation.
Yeah. I'm saying for me on my side, it's almost like if they would ask me, mm-hmm. what evidence would you need to not believe in God?
Right.
My answer would be, there is no evidence you can show me yeah. that would make me not believe in God.
Right, because there's so much evidence already. For his existence.
There is like hard, cold evidence.
Yeah.
And then the evidence of him moving in my life.
Right.
Like, and that's what I'm saying. Like, when you go through suffering, that faith that gets hardened, it's that belief. Like, you, mm-hmm. when you see God moving in your life through your suffering, are my levels still good, bro? I've been trying to adjust this. Dude, you're good, gosh.
It's me who is like kind of low, actually. I think. Yeah. Yeah, I've been trying to. I don't know. Maybe you just talk louder than me. You do.
Maybe.
But I'll hear it back later and see if I have to adjust stuff.
Okay. But yeah, no, that faith that gets solidified in our hearts, man,
yeah.
as we go through suffering is like nothing else. Hopefully just for your benefit and as a testimony, mm-hmm. I was trying to get Jeannie to give me like hard confirmation. Mm-hmm. To give details about the what happened.
Right, right.
None yet.
Right.
But hopefully at some point I'll be able to maybe get her on mm-hmm. on the show and we can talk about it.
Yeah, the story you two went together.
Through
together.
Mm-hmm. But this might be a little bit of a shorter episode, but what's the conclusion? Do you have anything else before we get into the conclusion?
No.
What are your
conclusion?
Here, so one final aspect of suffering, right? One final aspect of suffering. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's discipline, and that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Hebrews 12:11.
Yes. Hebrews 12:11. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness.
Yeah. So sometimes suffering, and that's kind of like a teaching that not a lot of Christians want to like think about.
Yeah.
Because they want to see God as like this, like super merciful God that'll forgive everything. And he will. He does.
Yeah.
But there's still discipline.
Right.
Right? So... but it's a good thing.
Yeah. Like I like how actually earlier in the chapter it puts verse 9 says, furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live?
Yeah, so exactly.
Like, yeah, like, why would you think God's away from you? Why would you, like, not love God anymore when he puts you through these trials, when he's disciplining you? Like, mm-hmm. your father disciplined you to improve your character and to grow you into the man that you're supposed to be. Well, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly.
But, so why would you not love God when he does the same thing to you?
Yeah, and this actually tells me a couple things. One, yeah. dads, discipline your kids. You don't love them any less if you discipline them.
Thou who spares the rod to his child does not love them.
Yeah, so don't spare discipline. If you love your kids, you discipline them because it's producing good fruit.
Yeah.
In the same way, yes, God is all loving, and he is merciful. But because he is all loving, he will discipline you.
Yeah.
And sometimes, the suffering you're going through is to build your character, build your faith, yes and amen, everything we've been talking about, mm-hmm. and it's a discipline. It's discipline to help you become, again, a more complete Christian. So why do we suffer? Why do we suffer? We suffer for it to refine our faith. It helps you experience and know God, and it produces a character. Even his discipline produces a character. Men, count it as pure joy when you go through suffering. Suffering tests your faith and refines it. Suffering builds your character. Suffering helps us become more complete Christians. We get to know God through his word. We get to learn about him and his character. We experience him as we go through suffering. And as we suffer, we have a promise. Suffering is promised, but we also have a hope in Christ. We have a future hope. A hope that Christ will one day wipe away every tear. A future hope that death will be no more. A future hope that there will be no more suffering.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to call back to our earlier episode that we did.
Yeah.
2 Timothy's, we went over chapter 2. These verses I always end up going back to them. Chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier.
That's so good.
Mm-hmm. We're not at home. We're in war.
Yeah.
We're not going to be comfortable. We're going to go through trials.
But yeah.
We're enlisted by God.
Yeah.
And his army.
You know, recently that has been a very big help for me in my mind.
Yeah.
God is our God. Yeah. He is our Lord and our King. Mm-hmm. We are not ourselves.
No.
Oh, but I want to do this thing. Does your Lord God King want you to do that thing? Does it honor him? Soldier?
Yeah.
Slave to Christ? Does it honor God? No. Then you have no choice, bud.
Yep.
And then at the same time, if your Lord God King humbled himself and became a man and suffered, mm-hmm. you think you're gonna escape suffering? No, bro. No. But it produces a character in you that'll make you a stronger person, a more complete Christian that'll honor him even better. Anything else?
That's good.
Anything you guys want to add? No? Love you guys. You guys are amazing.
True.
I think for me is that, like, wait. Grab it. Grab the mic. Come here.
I think for me is, like, something that I dealt with as far as, like, suffering wise is that, you know, kind of like, for example, like how God puts us in the process of suffering. Like, we think that in a worldly aspect that it's always bad. Like, you know, we're always going to get something bad out of it. But when you kind of think about it, once when you have God in your life, your whole, you know, perspective as far as, like, suffering changes. It really, really does, because you start Once when you become a Christian, you have a true relationship with God, like you're not panicking. You're like, oh my God, like, why am I suffering through this? Like, you know, why am I going through this? Like, you know, a really good example is like, you know, my whole situation with my job. Like, you know, I don't have the, sometimes I'm not capable enough to like, you know, show up into certain things for church and stuff like that. And I want to give my 100%. But sometimes, like, I tend to forget that, you know, God is always there in the midst of the suffering and always have to pray for him throughout those, you know, circumstances and everything like that. And we tend to forget that. Yeah. And also, John really did mention something that really hit me, which was that, like, even like when he was talking about the whole Joseph story, how he went through so much suffering, but yet, like, you know, his faithfulness, he didn't lose it, his faithfulness in God. Also, the story of David, which he was talking about it this Friday, throughout all that time when he was waiting to be king, like, God was like, hey, like, you know, it's time for you guys, for you to be king now. And David did went through suffering. He went through, you know, hardships where, you know, at the same time, he didn't lose faithfulness in God. And, you know, and again, like, you know, once when you realize the true meaning of what suffering is in God's eyes, is you're going to realize that without him, you know, there's nothing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
For sure. For sure.
Thank you, Austin.
Yeah.
You're good. Passing the mic to you now.
Thank you, bro. So, yes, like the Bible says, count it joy, not happiness. Don't be delusional. You know,
rejoice,
I mean?
In the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Philippians 4:4.
And with that, thank you guys for being here. We love you guys. Thank you for tuning in again. We love you.
Peace.
Peace out.